All right, this Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol. That's a big deal, by definition. So the question of why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is worth discussing for a few minutes. It's not 100% clear how far back that goes or why it is the case, but it's especially appropriate for us to discuss it for a few minutes because there is a good chance that it connects to the Haftorah in one way or another. So just to spend a few minutes on that question, why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? So there are various sources in Chazal that there is something that happened on that day. So for example, Medrash Rabbah talks about that there was this war between the Bechorim, between the firstborn who heard that they were going to be killed, who heard that they were in trouble, and that this whole process was going to be very bad for them. So they attacked the Jews, and there was a kind of a war, and we prevailed in that war, and therefore there is that nes that is associated separately from the rest of Yetzias Mitzrayim. More well known is what the Torah quotes, that it has to do with the fact that here the Korban Pesach is a lamb, and this was a Egyptian god. This is a theme of Mefarshim emphasized very heavily, that this deity of the Egyptians was tied to the beds and now is going to be shechted, and that's a tremendous provocation. You can only imagine what kind of a reaction they were having internally. And this was all done in front of the Mitzrayim with such a impact on their belief system. And yet they weren't able to do anything. They were paralyzed. And that's a nes. And therefore we commemorate that nes independently from the rest of Pesach. And that's what perhaps Shabbos HaGadol represents. This is one of the more well-known explanations that we are focusing on this. Rabbi Lam, in one of his drushes, he has this volume that was printed on the Moadim, the Seasons of Faith. This is a drusha about this particular explanation, where he says, okay, so that was a miracle, so we should commemorate that event, but why is it called Hagadol? What does that got to do with godless? And he develops the theme there, that it's the godless of the Jews, that this is about the character, that here they accomplished something, they were able to do this without fear and without worrying about what the consequences would be. I think we've spoken in the past about other indications that, you know, the definition of Yirat Shamayim in some sense is to be able to prioritize God's word over whatever else you might be afraid of, whatever else might be a source of concern. So this is really a statement of the character of the Jewish people. It's helpful that the Mitzrayim were not able to move, but the real praise here is that the Jews were able to bring themselves to do this, and also without having to kill anybody. So it wasn't like the other aspects of the whole process of the Exodus, where, as we know, it's itself a topic of much discussion. So our prevailing comes at the death or otherwise defeat of the others. Here they're not hurt. Here it's just our being able to rise to the occasion, and that's a definition of godless, which is worth emphasizing, and that's the point that Rabbi Lam develops. There is also the theme, there are a few other explanations as well. I remember hearing from Rabbi Chalap, probably at that point, I don't remember when this was, let's say he had been a rabbi in the shul for about 40 years at the time. So he told me that every year he was in the shul, he gave a different explanation as to why it's called Shabbos HaGadol.
Where is he at?
In the Bronx, here. So I'm not so far from here. So there are many other reasons. We're not going to go through 40, but just to mention a handful of others. So the Pri Chodesh explains that this is Gadol in the sense of godless. This was our communal bar mitzvah, because the first mitzvah that we had here, this aspect of the Korban Pesach, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh was not being practically fulfilled at that point. So here the first actual mitzvah that they were doing was an occasion to celebrate, like a bar mitzvah. So it's the Shabbos of godless, the godless of the nation as a whole. And the Chasam Sofer emphasized the theme of tshuva. We know that there were many spiritual failings among the Jewish people at that time, so to be able to return from that, that's the theme, and therefore that's our godless. The Shiboli Haleket has a reason which, take for it what you will, I guess depends where your seat is in shul, but he says it's called Shabbos HaGadol because there is the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, so therefore we should name it Shabbos HaGadol after the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. But what he means is that because it's a much longer presentation than usual, or than at all, right? Once upon a time they didn't have any drushas except for Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. So the lengthy drasha that the Rav would give made Shabbos feel pretty long. So therefore it's the longest Shabbos of the year. In that sense, the Shabbos HaGadol, because of the big drasha. But the idea the Abadram has, and that's really going to segue us into our discussion of the Haftorah specifically, is that it's a reference to the Haftorah, and therefore very appropriate for us to talk about. We know that often the Shabbos that have the Shabbos that have special names are named after the Haftorah. So, for example, Shabbos Shuvah is named after the Haftorah, Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos Nachamu. These are all Haftorahs that give their names to the Shabbos. So too, you have the phrase, you have the word Haggadol. In this case, it's saved for the end. It's in the very last pasuk. We'll talk about it specifically, so we'll hold off. It's a well-known pasuk that closes this Haftorah and closes Sifrei Nevi'im. It's the Sefer Malachi is the last of the Treyasar. So if we just focus on the Nun of Tanakh, so this is the end of Nun, this is the end of Navi, so the closing word, of the closing pasuk of the Navi is perhaps the source for this Shabbos' name. So just to look a little bit at some of the psukim, I won't necessarily go through all of them, but there are a number of psukim in this Haftorah which are very well known, very often quoted. So just to say a few words about each of them, and we'll bring it back to this theme. So the Haftorah begins, where it's Pasuk Dalet, Malachi Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, V'arva l'Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yushalayim kimei olam u'chushanim kaimonios, that the minchas of Yehuda and Yerushalayim will be as pleasing to the Ribono Shel Olam as in the olden days. So why is there a reference, we know this, we say this in the Shemoneh Esrei, why is there a reference specifically to the Menachos? Menachos were not the most prominent Korbanos. So this is related to the position that is often attributed to Rav Kook, without going into the question of just how solid this attribution is, or the claim behind it, but that the idea that Lasulavo, try to take this sitting down, Lasulavo will all be vegetarians, that there won't be meat eaten at all, we won't be shechting animals not to eat or for korbanos. So the indication here in the pasuk is that what we're looking forward to is the menachos. The menachos were meal offerings, were not animals. And maybe this is a support to the idea that Lasulavo we're not going to be shechting animals. So that, you can make of it what you will. There are others who understand the pasuk differently. For example, Rav Rivlin in his essay, so he notes that you get the impression from the Targum that this is not a reference exclusively to the Menachos, but it's a reference to all the korbanos. It just uses the word mincha. But then if that's the case, so then the question is, why do we use that word? Why is that word utilized in order to refer to all the korbanos when there would seem to be other words that would make the point more comprehensively. So he has a suggestion that it's connected to the idea Chazal have of a nefesh kisakriv korban mincha. So the usage of the word nefesh and connected to the korban mincha, Chazal tell us that that's to show that we're talking about a korban mincha. So who's bringing a korban mincha? A korban mincha is brought by an ani, is brought by somebody who can't afford an animal. So it is a particularly challenging korban for the one bringing it. And Chazal understand that even though it's not as lavish or elaborate as what other people are capable of, but it has that impact of being as if he gave his soul, as if he gave his very personhood. So we want to go back to that kind of a mindset, not necessarily to the mincha specifically, but the idea that the offering really represents the essence of what a person is able to bring forward and really taps into their soul. That's something that we're looking for, and that's what we are aspiring to. So when was it that way? It says, like the olden days. So when were the olden days? So Chazal have different suggestions as to, we're talking about the days of Shlomo, the days of Moshe, the days of Hevel, the days of Noah. So Rivlin commenting on what some of these earlier models might be. So he mentions that, first of all, if you go back to, let's say, the days of the Avos, so before there were obligatory mitzvos, before we were actually commanded, so then the korbanos really represented a sense of ratzon, a sense of free will and voluntarism, and that gets lost a little bit in the context of obligatory korbanos, and we want to restore that. You have to figure out how to balance that kind of an aspiration with the idea of gadol hamitzuvios and mishein hamitzuvios. So we know that Chazal tell us that that which is obligatory is even greater, for whatever purposes that means. So we have to figure out how to reconcile that idea. But the truth is, that's the idea that's the bigger chiddush. So setting aside the question from those Gemaras, we might have an opportunity to talk about that a little bit in Judzman. We'll see. But setting aside that question, Misvara, we could understand the other possibility more anyway, the idea that something that is of your free will, that is given voluntarily, has a greater ratzon behind it. And we are saying that halavai, we should be in a door where our offerings have that character to it. He also suggests that if we want to go way back, we want to go back to Adam HaRishon. So Adam HaRishon is the source on one level for the idea that korbanos shouldn't come from any gezel. Chazal say that just like Adam, the whole world was his, so there was no potential of gezel in what he was bringing. So too, we have to make sure that our korbanos are also free of any gezel. And that's also a part of the theme of the Haftarah. The Haftarah talks about various injustices, and in essence, that's what we're highlighting here too. Maybe, if this is what we are reading into the Pasuk, that our korbanos and our offerings should be free of any kind of taint of that nature. Okay, to go a little further, so the Pasuk Vav, two Pesukim later, so in between you have the Pasuk and Pasuk Hey, you have this emphasis that we have to have a society that is just. The Karavti Aleichem L'Mishpat, V'Yisi Eid M'Maher V'Machashvim V'Manafim V'Nishboim V'Shaker V'Oshkei Sachar Sachar Almana V'Yosel Mateger V'Lo Yireyuni Amar Hashem Svako. So the people who do all these terrible acts of exploitation and acts of harassment towards other people, so I'm going to be on the lookout for that, says the Rabbona Shalom. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to make sure to impose justice upon them. And then the next pasuk is an often quoted pasuk, Ki ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chlisem. So I am God, I have not changed, and you are the children of Yaakov, you haven't stopped to be. So Rav Shechter very often quotes this pasuk in his writings and in his speeches to emphasize that the Torah is eternal. So here God is saying, I haven't changed. And we know that the Torah represents God's will, on this earth and his chachma, so therefore it's akin to saying that the Torah doesn't change, so we can't expect that there's going to be any kind of a difference among the Doris in the content of the Torah, the content of the halacha. Now the application of the halacha, that changes, circumstances can change, so to know where to look, that's something which requires an appropriate analysis. But the Torah itself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, is not going to change, so that's what the Pasuk is emphasizing, Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi. But it has another relevance here also, that we are talking about the eternality of the bond between God and the Jewish people, that God chose us and we're still us and he's still God, and that's always going to be. So by highlighting that in this pasuk, we are also calling attention to that fact, that we have stumbled and we've made mistakes, but we are going to be brought back, and that's one of the major themes of the Saftori here also. And therefore we emphasize that both God and us are constants, and therefore the covenant between God and us are constants. Okay. So, hi.
Does that play onto the central theme of the Bechor Yisrael? The Bechor Yisrael? And like how Pesach is a recognition of a very much Bechor relationship.
Okay. Okay, I think it's you could take that too. Why not? So if you look a little bit further, so you see Pasuk Yud is also a very often quoted Pasuk. Pasuk says, Heviu es kol ha-maiser el beis ha-otzer, v'hiterech b'veisi v'chanuni na v'zos, Amar Hashem Tzvokos, im lo yeftach l'chem es ha-rubos ha-shamayim, v'harikosi l'chem b'rocha, ad b'lidai. So here, this Pasuk attracts a lot of attention. The Gemara Maseches Tainis and Daf Tes and elsewhere call attention to this pasuk that suggests that this is a unique mitzvah here, and there's a unique attitude that is different from everything else in the Torah. That regarding everything else is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim in Parak Vav, where the Torah tells us Lo Sanasu Es Hashem Elokecha. You're not supposed to test God. That's not the kind of relationship that we have, where we say, okay, I'll be a good boy, I'll do what I'm supposed to do, and let's see if I get rewarded, let's see if God treats me the way I think I deserve. So the Torah says, we're not supposed to do that. We don't treat God like that, we don't test him out. However, the Gemara says in Tainis, that there's one exception, there's one mitzvah where we are allowed to test God, because the Pasuk here tells us explicitly to do so. Pasuk says, "V'achanuni na v'zos." You should test me out on this, and it seems to be a reference to Meiser. Bring your Meisers to the Beis Otzer. Just parenthetically, Beis Otzer is the name of Rav Engel's encyclopedia, so good thing to take note of. But bring all your. It's always fun when the Sukkim quote Svarim that you like. So here, bring all your Meiser to the Beis Otzer, and test me through that. You'll see that you're going to become wealthier. I'm going to open up the floodgates of the sky, and you're going to have a lot of bracha. As the Gemara says, that you're not going to be able to be quiet about how much you're to express how much you are receiving here. So the Gemara has this idea that this is the one exception. So what is this? Is this just Meiser? Or is this Staka? Bechlau? So the Pasuk is referring to Meiser, and you could find some sources where they distinguish between the two. So some of the early Bali Moser, when they talk about this, they say that you shouldn't test God with anything, such as to say, I'll give Staka and see what happens. But Meiser is the one exception. They draw distinctions between Staka and Meiser. But Pasha Pshat, it seems to really be talking about Staka, and Aruch HaShulchan is very strong about this. Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's clear to him that there's no reason to distinguish between Meiser and Staka. He has a pretty strong way of expressing this, and that this is a way of saying that when it comes to Staka, If you are generous, you will see that God will pay you back. And that's what Chazal has also about Maaser, but the idea of Aser to Aser, Aser b'shvil she'tis Asher, that you should take Maaser, you should take Maaser so that through that you will become wealthier. Through that you will find that it will be successful for you. Jed?
Why even here with Hashem want you to challenge him?
So there seems to be some value to us in seeing how this plays out. It seems to be that this is something that we are invited to see the relationship between the two and to see specifically how this is the source of Ashiras. And we definitely know that in some cases there are certainly some cases where we can look to very clearly and say, okay, this individual has been a big Baltzdaka, and he has continued to be successful as he continues to express generosity. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan makes that point in saying that there can't be a distinction here, because in Stucco we see it happening. But the message seems to be, as some of the Bali Moser explain, that if we have a perspective that which we have, that our resources are really exactly that, resources that are given to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu so that we can do good things with them. So if you think about it, so if you were to hire somebody to be in charge of carrying out a job, and the job is to give out resources, and if they do a good job, so then what happens? So then presumably you promote them, presumably you give them more responsibility, that when people do their job well, so then it makes sense that they're going to have more work to do in the good sense. So too, that if we look at what we have as something that's just in our custody so that we can use it towards helping others, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so then you're doing a good job, so I'll give you more with which to do it. And the salary of the job, it's a pretty good salary. So, you know, Mishulachim and others who work to collect charity, so it's always a debate, both halachically, ethically, and practically, how should they be paid for their work, and should they take a percentage of what they take in, because that'll motivate them to do even more. There's a lot of debate about this, but apparently the way we have things is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us resources in life, and says, I want you to take these resources and do good things with them, and your salary is 90%. You can keep 90% of what I'm giving you as long as you do a good job to give out the other 10, and therefore the better job that you do, you'll have more to work with, and because you're getting a percentage, so you will get more from your percentage. Yeah. It's an interesting idea. And again, the 10% part is subject to a lot of discussion, not for now, but maybe that's what's being conveyed here, that the better job you do in dispensing these resources, the natural reward, the natural consequence would be that you'll have more responsibility, more to give out, and because you're able to hold on to some percentage of it, so that's going to benefit you as well. So that's one of the major themes also that appears here in the Haftorah. I think it's also suggested that the Shlo suggests that that could also be part of the connection to Shabbos HaGadol, that maybe this is another reason why we read this Haftorah. There is a lot of discussion about the history of this Haftorah and the time that we read it. It's not explicit as we sometimes find in other sources. That the Dalei Parshios, for example, so the Haftorahs that we read with Dalei Parshios, so the Gemara tells us what Haftorah is to read on these special readings. But we don't have a Gemara telling us about Shabbos HaGadol at all, and we don't have one clear, unequivocal tradition as to which Haftorah to read. There are some who only read this Haftorah on Shabbos before Pesach, who was also Erev Pesach. There's a lot of back and forth about what exactly is the practice of this Haftorah, and the history, and the whole concept of Shabbos HaGadol. So the Shla has a discussion where I think the basic point he's saying, says one more of a complicated way, but that one of the major themes of Pesach is that you have to take care of others. You have to give tzedakah. The whole history of Moshe Chitim, I think we spoke about that one year. It's a fascinating topic in itself. But there is apparently a particular obligation of tzedakah, even more so than by other Tovim, that is embedded into the Pesach theme. That is a major part of what our Yantif is about. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Bechlal, when it comes to every Yantif, so the Rambam says there's no such thing as Simchas Yantif if you're not involving the needy and the poor at your table. That's not called Simchas Yantif, it's called Simchas Kreso. It's just a Simcha of your appetite if you're not going to extend generosity to others. And therefore, it's a major theme of Simchas Yantif. So especially when the last day of Yantif falls out on Shabbos, so then we have a longer Kriyas HaTorah, and the Kriyas HaTorah from Parshas Re'eh pulls back to start from Aser Taser, to start from the whole idea of giving tzedakah, and it fits very well the theme of Yantif, that we have to remember that that's a part of what it means to have Simchas Yantif, is to make sure that taking care of the aniyim is very much front and center. Hi.
So the Ramban says that you're not fulfilling Simchas Yantif unless
the Rambam Mishneh Torah,
unless you have aniyim at your table.
Right. To say you have to have, or to say that you can't turn them away, might be more the focus. But say somebody who, his language probably means somebody who refuses to allow them at this table. But somebody who thinks, okay, Simchas Yantif means that I should party and I should have a great time and I should have very elaborate meals. But when there are people around who need help and they're not a part of it and you're not willing to make them a part of it, so then that shows that that's not really Simchas Yantif. It shows that your motivation is really your own enjoyment and you're using Yantif as an excuse to have big meals. That's not called Simchas Yantif. It's called Simchas Yantif when you make sure to share that with everybody who needs, and that's the reflection that your motivation really is Simchas Yantif and not just an excuse to have some very elaborate feasts. So that's majorly a part of what Yantif is. And saw that in the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on the last day of Yantif. So we go through the Mo'adim. So we mentioned Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we often do. And even in the context of Shavuos, we mentioned Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Mefarshim try to figure out, so what's the connection between Shavuos and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, Pesach we got, Sukkot also has these themes, but Shavuos is something else already. So I saw that my grandfather, in his commentary to the Torah Tumimah, so he comments that the point of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just in the sense of Pesach and Sukkot, but that we're constantly reminded that we were exiled and we were suffering and we were disadvantaged, and we have to remember that there are people around us who still need help. And that is core to Simchas Yantif, that we can't have Simchas Yantif without being aware of that. And therefore, Shavuos too. Anytime we have a concept of Simchas Yantif, that has to be very much front and center. Okay, so there's a few other psukim that are very well known here, and we should call attention to those as well. So among them, if you look at Pasuk Tazayin, so here is another sefer that a couple of svarim maybe they're being referred to here, but if you know the tshuvas of Rav Binyamin Yeshua Zilber of Bnei Brak, his tshuvas are called tshuvas az nibru. So here, that's where it comes from. Pasuk says, "Az nidbru yirei Hashem ish esreihu v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma v'yikosev sefer zikar l'fanav l'yirei Hashem l'choshvei shmo." So, "Az nidbru yirei Hashem," when the yirei Hashem, when those who fear God are talking to each other, ish esreihu v'yakshev Hashem, God pays attention. So the Gemara says in Masechus Brachos elsewhere that when two people are talking and there's divrei Torah between them, so the Shechina is there. You see that God listens. The Gemara has a whole progression. You know, does the Shekhinah make its presence felt even if one person is learning Torah? So the Gemara says, well, here you see there's another step, the Yikasev Sefer Zikar and Lefanov, that it gets written down, it's a higher Madrega. But the idea of the Yirei Hashem speaking, there's a long passage about this in the Sefer Emes Yaakov of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where he brings in some other elements, but I think one theme that's related to what he's saying there is that it's important to create a culture where good things are respected and bad things are disdained. And peer pressure and the sense that we have of not wanting to be embarrassed in front of other people, it's very important. It has a big impact on what we do. So it's not just that there is Talmud Torah taking place, but with the Az Nidbur Yirei Hashem, when this is what they talk about, and this is what the conversation is, so then that has an impact. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Parak Gimel Pirkei Avos, makes this point, and the Mishnah says that when you have two people sitting and there's no Divrei Torah, so then it's called a Moshe of Leitzim. So perhaps the reference is that Leitzim are scoffers, are people who don't esteem things that should be esteemed. So if you have people, they don't think that they have to be talking in Torah, they don't think that this is what they need to at least display that they are involved in. So that is something which has a big negative impact on society. So if they're not talking about Torah, then they're not valuing that which needs to be valued. That is a letz, it's a Moshe of Leitzim. But if they are, if they're creating a culture of talking about important things and making sure that that's what's perceived as cool or in, so then that brings the Shekhinah in. God is going to listen to them. And presumably that also fits with the end of the Pasuk. The Pasuk ends off, L'choshvei Shmo, those who esteem his name, those who create a culture of saying that this is what's important, this is what we talk about. So that's something that is a tremendous bracha to society. The psukim goes on to say, if you skip now to Pasuk Yud Ches, V'shav Timur Yisem Bein Tzadik L'Rasha Bein Oved Elohim L'Asher L'Avado, that you will come and see the difference between a Tzadik and a Rasha, and those who serve God and those who don't. So here, this is a prophecy about the future that also kind of relates to what we just said, that it's about not only whether people are good and bad, but it's also about our ability to appreciate that, and to recognize that, and to value what should be valued, and to disdain what should be disdained. That's important, that we have our appreciations in the right place. And, you know, Rav Huttner, in his first essay in Purim, so he talks about the idea of Leitzanis that we just alluded to say that a Letz is a scoffer. Futner has that very important essay in the first Maimer in Purim. So there he also quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. That Rabbeinu Yonah writes concerning the Pasuk, V'ish Lefi Mahalo, that a person is assessed according to his praise. So what does that mean? It means that you can tell what somebody's about based on what people say about him. So we know that's not true. We know there are a lot of people who get praised and they don't deserve it, and a lot of people who are unsung heroes. So it's hard to say that it's really a fair assessment of people based on their praise. So what Rabbi Yon explains is that it's not about what people say about you. That Adam Nikar Lefi Mashahu Mehalel, that you can tell what a person is about based on what he gives importance to. And that's the real measure of a person, because sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we have aspirations and goals that we don't live up to all the time. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we don't live up to our aspirations, because if we fulfill our aspirations, it means we haven't set the bar high enough. So we have to keep pushing more. So hopefully we don't live up to our aspirations. Hopefully our reach exceeds our grasp. But the point is that that's how you see what somebody's really about. So whose picture is on the wall? Who does he praise? Who does he esteem? That might be more reflective about what a person is really about than what they actually do, believe it or not. So there's a big emphasis on being able to appreciate what's right and what's wrong. And also, it's just a simple reality that when we don't have that appreciation, so we're not even going to try to do the right thing. And when we live in a confused society where we can't tell the difference between good and bad and between what is really praiseworthy and what isn't, and the values of society can just flip around and change in very extreme ways, so then we're not going to have any sense of what's right and wrong. So this ability to be able to recognize, that's a part of our vision for the redemption, the Molokol Arts Deya, that there's going to be knowledge and recognition and appreciation of what should be and what is good. And that's what we find contained in this nevuah also. B'shav t'mri yusim b'in tzadik l'rasha. You'll be able to tell the difference between a tzadik and a rasha. Don't think that's a small thing. That is, it's a very big thing. Okay, so here, the last words. I mentioned before last, but it's really it's the last two psukim together, and then we repeat the second to last pasuk. But here, or should maybe to get the whole message, should take the last three psukim. So last three psukim: Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi Asher Tivisi Osol B'Charev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim Ushbatim. These are again very powerful. These are the closing words of Nevi'im. And the last message that we're left with, and say for Malachi, should remember God, remember the Torah of Moshe. And Hine Anochi Shalech Lachem Eis Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Ha Gadol the Hanara. Right, so here you have the Hagadol, which might be the source for the name of the Shabbos, the name of the Haftorah, that here I am sending you Eliyahu Hanavi, who's going to come before that great and awesome day. And then the pasuk ends, V'heishuv levavos albanam levavadam levavosam penavav hikesias arts cherem. So he will bring together the parents and the children with their parents, so that I don't destroy everything. So the last syllable is not so uplifting. So we focus on the good part of it. He then is a repetition. And this vision for the future, that things are going to be turned around in a positive way, is very much our message. It should be noted that this year Shabbos HaGadol falls out in Parshas Metzora, and that's often the case with a Shana Mubaris. And the theme of Lashon Hara, which is under the surface of Parshas Metzora, Parshas Tizrian Metzora, but the idea that Chazal have that Metzora is a contraction of Motzi Shem Ra, and that there are many spiritual failings which could cause that affliction, but Lashon Hara is the one that we highlight the most, we emphasize the most. So it's a major theme of Pesach also. The Zohar has this concept that during our exile, Dibur was Begalus also, proper speech was in exile. And indeed Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Achein Noda Hadavar in Parshas Shmos, he says that the Jews, they are people who apparently speak Lashon Hara. Because there, the Pasuk was telling us that when Moshe tries to stop Dasan and Aviram from fighting, and he says, well, what are you going to do? They say to him, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? So he saw that people have been talking about him. So he saw that they are gossipers, they're dilatory. So he says, how could it be a gula to a people who are in such a state, and if that's the way they talk, so then it's going to be necessary for them to stay in exile. So the notion of a redemption also means the notion of being able to fix those types of issues, to be able to correct our speech, which really is about correcting our perspective. It's about being able to appreciate it in the sense of what we said a few psukim ago, being able to appreciate the difference between good and bad. You know, the fact that Moshe had killed the Mitzri, so to call that Lashon Hara. So, yeah, you would think maybe it's the Toelis to know that if there's somebody who's killing people. But the point is not so much about what he did just in terms of the action, but in terms of the perspective. Why is Moshe killing the Mitzri? He's killing the Mitzri because he's protecting the Jewish people. He's acting there as a savior. And to portray that as if he's just somebody who's stam, violent, looking to impose his will on others. So that's a complete misunderstanding of what's good and what's bad. It's completely not appreciating how things fit. And it's that lack of perspective that gets us in very big trouble. So the whole message here is really an integrated one that we'll be able to see the difference between right and wrong. We will be able to come to a state of redemption, to a state of geula. And to end off on these words, which are especially appropriate for Pesach, v'heishuv levavos al banim v'lev banim al avosam, that whatever it takes, and we've all seen it happen in both directions, that sometimes the parents are very influential on their children, and very often the other way around is true also. The children can be very influential on the parents, and there are many such stories where you see families that are transformed very positively because the children are very motivated, the children are very inspiring, and they have an impact on the older generations. They're able to create an atmosphere that positively influences everybody. So it goes in both directions. There should be a positive synergy that the parents should be able to have a good influence on their children, the children should have a good influence on the parents. And overall, it's going to create a context for redemption. And of course, that's one of the major themes of the Haggadah. It's one of the major aspects, the whole Manashtana interaction, the whole idea that we are Davka creating a environment for children to inquire of the parents, for the parents to instruct the children, and the like, is very much one of the major themes of what Pesach is all about. So this idea that we ask for the Heish Levavos Al Banim LeBanim Al Avosam, this is a closing theme for the Haftorah and for all of the Sefer Nevi'im, is a very powerful message for us to incorporate. So with all that, I'm not going to wish you a good Shabbos. I wish you a great Shabbos. It should be a Shabbos HaGadol in the best senses of the word. And because of the calendar, we have a full week between Shabbos HaGadol and Pesach. So I will see you, God willing, on Sunday. And we should be able to continue in all positive ways. Alrighty. I guess we'll probably no chance to catch you.